So now you got to buy offers. You can't use your free-to-play cores anymore. You got to use your offers. And then you're going to get the red stars. You got to buy those DPCs, right? Oh, this is all a plan.
Scopely has given their initial response to their mess-ups from earlier this week. Will there be more coming? Is Null coming to Marvel Strike Force? What can we expect from Battle World? New rules in Crucible, new rules in War. We're discussing all of it and more in this edition of your Marvel Strike Force Weekly News Update. This week, I am joined by my brother Dorky Dad. And if you're ready for it, brother Dorky, let him know what to do.
Smash that like button.
Oh, yeah. And welcome back to the Valley Flying Channel. I am Valley Flying. This is Dorky Dad. And this is your Marvel Strike Force Weekly News Update. We do this every single week. And if you haven't already subscribed, hit that subscribe button for more great Marvel Strike Force content, at least 5 Marvel Strike Force videos per week. We got a lot going on this week, though, but yeah, everything to help your experience in Marvel Strike Force. But how has your experience this week been in Marvel Strike Force, Brother Dorky?
It's been pretty dang good. So I have 3 accounts. I won 3-0 in all the Crucibles, so I am undefeated this season over 9 fights. So I'm pretty high up right now.
That is awesome. And I just gotta wonder, before we move on to your Crucible, with how the hell do you have time to manage 3 accounts? I'm struggling sometimes to manage 1 account. You got 3. One is of a brand new account, and one is your old account, and I don't know where the other one is. Is I guess somewhere in the middle of those two.
No, I got 2 super endgame accounts and the baby account.
Jeez, okay. Yeah. My goodness. And congratulations, Kazuki Crucible. I did pretty good. Today, I think I did the best, even though I lost. I went up against a Mega Kraken, almost doubled my TCP, and one shot at each room. Didn't get the win, but I think nice. That was more impressive than my other 2 wins earlier this week. Well, let's get right into it with the newest character coming tomorrow, Black Knight. This guy's going to shake up the arena meta. How good is this character? How good are you expecting this character to be?
Too good. he's going to shake up the arena meta, and I'm calling him Kraken Knight because the bigger he is, the harder your team falls. He is going to shift the war meta. He's going to shift the Crucible meta. Of course, the arena meta. He is going to flip the entire game and all the counters on the head. The second this guy goes into any team that you have your regular counter for, get ready. And there's very few characters that are going to be able to get around him. And even when you do get around him, he is still going to be smashing your team when you hit his allies. His passive is dumb broken.
Gosh. What do you think the arena team is going to be for defense, offense, or have you not started the theory craft yet?
I think on the offensive side, I think Skrull might be getting benched for some other characters. I think Apocalypse is going to see a huge revaluing because he's a little bit slower, so he's not getting absolutely destroyed by Black Knight, and then his rebalance goes through heal block, so he kind of brings your team back up. Skrull, whoever your opponent throws on defense with Black Knight, you don't control that. They can throw on characters that give a bunch of buffs, which will make your Skrull go first and kill himself, and so because you don't control that, Skrull might be getting the axe. We'll have to wait and see. Doesn't mean Skrull's not a great character, though.
So if you are struggling to enter Dark Dimension 6, or maybe one of the earlier Dark Dimensions, would you still go after Skrull at this point? Because, you know, he's still going to have value in other modes, but if your theory is correct, he's going to be falling out of the arena meta.
So he's not arena meta anymore, I don't think. We'll have to wait and see. He's not raid meta anymore because their full hive mind team just walks over that. But in War, Crucible, he's king. And there's very important other game modes that pop up, like Sword Satellite, like Kyle Tower, whatever you want to call that, Escape from Kyle, Battle World coming up, whatever regular tower we get. The next legendary event might have a section where you could use Skrull. Skrull is definitely not dead. That's for sure.
Good. Well, it's going to be hard to build up this character unless you're a Mega Kraken, because one of the things that's coming with Black Knight, special offers that include 4 red stars for Black Knight with his character shards, so keep your eyes for these offers tomorrow in the store. But yeah, he's going to require dark promo credits. A lot of dark promo credits. A lot of good characters requiring dark promo credits. This is the first normal release character that we've had that requires dark promo credits. Now, they've done this on good characters before, but characters like Big Time Spider-Man had a unique release method, same like Quicksilver, Zombie Iron Man, Zombie Juggernaut, and then all our Dark Dimension and other characters. So this is the first like normal release characters that we've had with dark promo credits. How do you feel about that? Or just because he's good, it doesn't really make a difference one way or the other to you?
he scales exponentially well with stats. So the fact that they're doing 1-7 screams volumes. And the fact that Green Goblin just became available also screams volumes, right? So what they're trying to do is they are trying to make you use those dark promos. They're trying to make you buy as many yellow stars on Black Knight as you can, so you can fill in those red stars and then wait for the next shoe to drop, because Skrull red stars got to be around the corner. They want you to use it on Goblin. They want you to use it on Black Knight, and they want the Krakens to be able to bring their Skrull up to 7 red stars so he can just ignore your 4 yellow, 4 red star Black Knight. That's what I think is going on here. The fact that it's all coming at once just it makes too much sense.
It does make too much sense. I don't like your theory, Dorky, because I think it's absolutely true. This is gonna be rough, and especially because his bonuses for Black Knight based a lot of his armor on his health. That is something you need to build him very, very big for. So yeah, it's I'm not looking forward to what the meta is going to be when this character comes to around, because it looks very, very tough. Now, let's talk about this Out of Time team in general. They look very, very strong. Part of the war meta, do you think they're going to have a lot of relevance anywhere else other than war, Cosmic Crucible? Obviously not the raids, but any and then the tower modes. Where else do you think this team would be used, or just pretty much war?
I'm thinking the full Cookie Cutter team is going to be pretty much just war. The rest of the team is really slow, and they lose a lot outside of war. Like, the whole team is really slow, but Black Knight uses that slowness to his advantage, right? I think Black Knight as a plug-and-play character becomes way too interesting when you're looking at climbing later stages in a tower, when you're looking at Crucible, where you only get to put 6 teams on defense, so he gets to empower a team like Superior 6, like Secret Defenders, like a Skrull team, like an Extreme team. So he has just too much value as a plug-and-play character to put him with his lackluster full team, in my opinion.
Any value for Cosmic Ghost Rider or Starbrand outside of war, outside of these teams?
Starbrand is way too slow, way too squishy. I'm not really seeing that value. And Cosmic Ghost Rider, the problem with Cosmic Ghost Rider is his speed. I think he's 121 speed. And that is just eclipsed by a lot of the other characters we have. Now, can a character like Black Knight protect Cosmic Ghost Rider while he's doing that? Sure.
In war, they're good, right? And no, they're great. The synergy in war with Black Knight and everything like that.
Yeah, but in war, no question. But in Crucible, I'd much rather my Black Knight putting those bleeds out be defending a different Ghost Rider. I'd rather him be defending Robbie Reyes, putting those bleeds out, making Robbie Reyes get speed bar, making Robbie Reyes just snowball. I just don't see the value in the rest of the team personally.
Well, unfortunately, if you don't want to build them and you want the next legendary, well, that's not an option, because the Out of Time team will be required for the next legendary. More details are coming soon. What do you think that, where do you think this is going to be leading to the next legendary? Is it one of the things that was teased in a dev interview or something else?
So we have a couple of things, right? We missed something in the Professor X Easter egg. He pointed at Venom that gives heavy implications of Null. Cerebro at the end, he was known for, notorious for giving tips at the very end. He said something about schizophrenic, so that's kind of leans towards Spider-Man. We have the Deadpool pool that just happened. We have the A-Force pool that just happened. Oh my goodness,
there's a lot.
There's a lot of options where the legendary character can come from. I have no idea what angle they're going with.
All right. It could be any of these or none of these, and something totally left. Let me know your best guesses in the comments, Valley Club. As we move forward to that splash screen that you're talking about, this one. Now, everybody was going towards this. They said, hey, that's Professor X. I thought it was Cyclops, but he said this is not what the Easter egg was. What do you think the Easter egg was? Is it like this is Cerebro itself? That is where my mind went. Did you see something else in this as he said that and re-looked at this screenshot?
Well, that's not the Cerebro room. That's the Danger room. That's the apparatus where the Danger Room does its like holograms and stuff like that.
I knew it was a room. It's just the wrong room in my lore.
Maybe we're getting like a true sandbox where we can finally do some like testing as if it was a live war or Crucible, or maybe it's going to be like a endless, like a horde mode where you got to survive endless waves. If you look at the left side of the screen there, beside the Strike Force logo, there's a picture where the Strike Force logo isn't there. And it kind of looks like the face of Madame Web. Like you see like the super pointy nose just above your webcam besides Sunspot's ball by his feet.
Hmm.
Let me see.
Well, let me ask you this. Could it just be simple thing as simple as these X-Men reworks that we didn't get the full kit set drop, but their stats are in increased. Jubilee, Kitty Pride, Phoenix, Colossus, X-23 got reworks. We don't know the reworks yet, but their stat increases are live in the game. Could it be something as simple as that or something even more big on the horizon like you mentioned?
Well, I mean, that makes sense when you say it like that. It's not as fun.
I wish. All right. Hopefully it's something more fun than that, because I hope it's something bigger. I hope bigger. But yeah, we do know that the X-Men reworks are coming. What do you think the X-Men reworks are for, though? Because they're not really a part of the Extreme X-Men. I don't think you're going to take one of the Extreme X-Men and use them not in the raids. Is this for Crucible and War, or just to give them value for new players?
Well, I think everybody's hoping for a Superior Six style rework. I'm not sure if that's what we're going to get, but hopefully, because I mean, bringing up characters like Phoenix and Jubilee, two legendary characters, making them useful in like the war mode at the very least, because we get 10 teams in war. So it'd be cool to have use for them there. Yeah. I want the reworks to be that good. I'm just not sure if they will be.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. From some of the interviews, I don't think they indicated that they would be like Sinister Six, but they would be pretty good. I'm just kind of guessing what game mode it would be in. Let me know your guesses. What you think is going to be coming from these X-Men reworks as we move forward with more of these Easter eggs of things that is coming up, specifically Battle World, which is what I am looking forward to.
Battle World, first and foremost, we are really excited about. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of our resources right now actively working on it. I'm continually seeing what we're developing, and it makes me really excited, as well as moments. I think that's one of the things that I really believe is going to help a lot more of that theory crafting and being able to kind of do and utilize characters that you would want to use that maybe aren't nearly as meta relevant, and bringing some of that back. You know, there's a symbiote behind you. I'll just kind of, you know, leave it at that.
All right. So lots of things teased there. Battle World moments, symbiote behind you. Let's start with the symbiote behind you. My mind went to null. Is there any other symbiotes that he could possibly be talking about or teasing?
The only other symbiote that would be hyped enough to throw out like that would be like Symbiote Spider-Man. We have Symbiote Spider-Man, right? We have Anti-Venom. Like, what do you think? We're going to get super hyped over a character like Riot?
Madam Web. Could it be Madam Web and not this cool character?
Well, Madam Web does have a movie that's out, right? So I don't know.
I heard it's not even worth watching. So does she really have a movie that's out?
Maybe not. I think no. We've been screaming Null for what? Like 2.5 years at this point. So I think that they know to lean into Null as a very key character to help the game just continue to grow into the near future. Like, I don't think they want to hold on to Null for 4 years from now. It doesn't really make much sense.
My mind went to Null. I don't know anybody else that would lead to. And moving forward with what he said about Battle World, that is a game mode that I'm looking forward to, where your alliance is going to compete with this. He also mentions moments, which are equip stats characters to make them more relevant. As we look at this preview, it mentioned moment orbs here. So are we going to be getting moments from orbs from Battle World based on what you see here? Or does your mind lead you to a different conclusion?
No, I mean, it makes perfect sense, right? When Crucible is released, we got Crucible credits. So when Battle World gets released, we get moment orbs, and it's going to give us moment fragments or something, and we put them on characters. I don't know what moments is going to be. I think the consensus is going to be like a temporary stat boost that can help bring older teams up to par. Like maybe we're going to need a team like Astonishing X-Men, and we're going to want to put a moment buff on them so they can be used to beat up a Hela node or something in Battle World. I don't know. I'm pretty excited about it, though. It sounds cool, right? The idea of making these older teams back up to par.
Where my mind led is it's permanent, like ISO 8. You're thinking it's something a little more temporary.
Well, that's what I've seen a lot of people talk about. Like, I know Mobile Gamer did a deep dive when Moments was mentioned, and he went to a WWE game streamer, which is also a Scopely product. And they had something that was similar to Moments, and it looked like it was a way to bring up older characters temporarily, and then you'd have to like reapply that buff to them using more moments at some point. I like you. I would prefer it to be more like ISO, where it's permanent. Once you get it, you got it.
Okay.
But you know, red stars are permanent now. People have 7 red stars in everybody, and nobody cares about red stars anymore. Luckily, but
diamonds. Diamonds are the thing now. There's just a new progression system. So let me know what your thoughts are and moments are. Where is your mind going? Something temporary, something permanent, something totally different, because he does say that's something that we haven't seen in the game before. So could be something temporary, like you're mentioning there, but it should be something different. Now, the other thing that was mentioned in a dev interview that was not released publicly is about tokens for new players. I just thought there was like blanket upgrades for characters. So getting them to a certain level or certain gear tier. And I think this would be good for new players just so they don't have to use all that gold, all the training mats, all their gear, especially the blue gear, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. Yeah. What do you think? Is that where you saw tokens as being a benefit for? Or is this also just to relieve some of the resource crunch that we have?
Yeah, so it will also lead into reworks, right? Like if a player started the game 2 years ago, they didn't build up their symbiote, so they needed to start Venom and Carnage from scratch when we have the Hive Mind team. So maybe tokens could come in and bridge that gap so they could do more reworks. And if they could do more reworks and just kind of bring up our older characters to the level they need to be at for the current content, or maybe just one step below, so the investment is still there, but it's not like crazy. I think that's a really cool idea. Now, we do know that there's going to be some in offers, but we were promised as well that there was going to be some in milestones, some free to play, maybe promo codes, stuff like that. So I'm cautiously optimistic, but we're going to have to see how heavy they lean into the offer side when it comes to tokens.
I like the milestone side. I like grinding for this stuff. You know, I don't like purchasing that, but I think most players feel the same way. So I think there'll be a balance of it. You know, they want to make some money and they want people to grind for this stuff as well. Yeah. Let's move forward to something that's not as good, and that's issues with the devs reusing old currency over and over and over again. We were talking before this. You estimated this is like the seventh time this has been an issue. I mean, it seems like every time they bring back some currency, there's some issue with it. How hard is it? And I'm not a developer, so maybe this is very, very challenging. But how hard is it to, after the event, and zero out everybody's currency so everybody's starting at zero? What would be preventing them from doing that?
I gotta assume laziness, because when this issue hit, they took the store down, and then over a few hours, they zeroed everybody's currency and then relaunched the store later. Like maybe it does take time. Maybe it takes 6 hours or something like that. I don't know. It seems weird to me that if you're using the same code of the currency for future currencies to go in and set everybody to zero, it seems like that should not be the most difficult thing in the world. And it's just getting over, like it's oversaw every single time. So when this candy store ends, Scopely developers, I hope you're listening. When it ends, go in, zero everybody out immediately. You are never going to run a Red Goblin release method for red roses, candy, whatever again. So go in and zero the currency out. Let's not have this happen every time. But I kind of have a conspiracy as to why this happened. Maybe they did it on purpose.
Wait, I do want to hear that conspiracy theory, but here's the, I did see on Reddit an argument about zeroing it out as soon as the event ends. There may be some support tickets. So they want to know how much currency you have in there to give you a support ticket if you weren't able to open certain orbs or things like that. But definitely, before the next event begins, zero everybody's currency out. You know, by the time they're reusing this, any support tickets or anything that people would have complaints about should have been long gone. Yeah. Zero it out before this event ends. I think that it alleviates a lot of the problems. And going back a little bit, if you don't know what's going on, so as of February 12th, the Rosa's event went live in the store. Some players had millions and millions of hard currency in their inventory, and this was due to an old currency in players' inventory that registered as the new currency. Now, the good thing is, all this new currency, it was supposed to be the scoring method for the milestones, and it did not score the milestones, so it didn't create a bigger problem from that sense. But they removed the currency, they removed everything, took the game down for maintenance, and removed the store. So they said there was a couple issues with this. There's actually one more big one here. Players that bought the hard currency offers and lost them. Players that spent the campaign energy and received the hard currency and lost them. And taking the game down caused some players to disconnect in the middle of crucible attacks, war attacks, other things. One more thing. If you had all that currency, you were able to go into the store and pretty much buy everything and then refresh the store and buy everything again, refresh the store and buy everything again. You could have got a lot of shards, got a lot of dark promos, gold promos, uniques, and down here at the bottom, there's some training mods, there's some T4s. Sometimes right now it's showing T3s, but it rotates. That is the bigger issue. Were you able to do anything with this?
I was able to on one account.
Nice.
But let me, can I go into my conspiracy theory? Because this is where
it happens. Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention. Yeah, let's go back. Okay. What is the conspiracy theory on
this? Well, this is the conspiracy theory. I had 20 million of these candies on the account. Yes. I went in, I got a couple of dark diamonds, because there's not just DPCs, there's dark diamonds too. I think I got about 75 dark diamonds. Well, you need like thousands for an upgrade, right? Mm-hmm. The gear tier 18s, I got a bunch of gear tier 18s, but here's the thing. If you need Dark Dimension 6 still, that's more appealing. So you would have been refreshing the store like a madman. Maybe you want some Sunspot shards or Craven the Hunter shards, even though they become farmable 4 months from now. But you just wanted to core the store. You wanted those upgrades right now. I want it now. Guess what? Tomorrow, Black Knight comes out in the core orbs. You refreshing that store drained your cores that you could have used on Black Knight, and now they're not going to stop his red stars at 4 red stars. They're going all the way to 7. So now you want to fill up more yellow stars on Black Knight than you ever had wanted to before, but you drained your cores. So now you got to buy offers. You can't use your free-to-play cores anymore. You got to use your offers, and then you're going to get the red stars. You got to buy those DPCs, right? Oh, this is all a plan. This is so that you got to buy more offers, and then Skrull's going to come, and you're going to have to buy more Dark Promotion credit offers. It's a whole snowball effect, and Scopely knows what they're doing. And the added benefit, oh my God, the added benefit is that what were you talking about when the people that bought the offers, they got to steal your money at the same time. Nah, I'm just kidding on that last part, but you know, here we go.
All right, so I don't think they did this on purpose. I think this is incompetence, but I definitely think everything you said was factored in a decision and how they were going to respond to this, because they could have responded many different ways, but what their solution is currently, hard candy currency that players receive through campaign energy spent lost from the hard candy currency purge will be compensated by the end of this week. And a general compensation package going out to everybody to compensate for everybody, the frustration, possibly Cosmic Crucible play interruption. More info provided soon. So yes, everybody that got all that free stuff just gets to keep it. Everybody that was not on at the time does not get anything. Here's my solution. And I think you mentioned a lot of this in your stream yesterday. Give everybody a ton of this currency at the last refresh. And if they want to choose to refresh with their power cores, they can. If they don't, they can. Everybody gets to buy whatever's in the store at that time, and you could use whatever power cores you want. I think that's the fair solution. What do you think of that solution?
Yeah, it's an easy fix. If you want to actually make people not frustrated, when the event is done, the milestones are over, earning the credits isn't going to affect anything. Dump 50 million of these candies into everybody's account. Leave the store up for another 8 hours. Hey, go nuts, refresh to your heart's content. And then, please God, don't forget to zero the currency after that last store. All right. Yes. And then that's it. And then there's no frustration. There's nothing like that. People that take advantage of ahead of time, they screwed themselves for Black Knight, whatever. And then if you do it at the end, hey, you get to do the same sort of benefit.
That will even out the playing field, cause no complaints. And they can still do that, because that would be done. There's 9 days left in the store. If we go back to the milestones, there is less than 9 days left in the milestones. There's 4 days left in the milestones. So you wouldn't get to complete any more stuff. Just give out a bunch of currency at the last refresh. Let players do whatever they want with the power cores. Yeah, I think that's the best solution for this. If there's anything else, though, let me know in the comments. But let's talk about this store. Is there anything you're purchasing in the store with your normal currency? Let's say you didn't get those millions and millions of hard candy. What would you be purchasing in this store? You have character shards here with some pretty appealing character shards. You know, we have some unfarmable characters. Gold, dark, diamond credits, dark diamond credits. So we got uniques, gear 18 pieces. And then obviously at the bottom, those T4 and its training modules, which I know a lot of people are short on those training modules. What are you purchasing in the store right now?
So in the baby account, I was purchasing a Sunspot, and I have Sunspot unlocked. I'm still just farming shards on that account because, I mean, I got a bunch of 2-star characters. It's easy to get a star upgrade from a store like this.
Yeah.
On the other accounts, these characters, like, I'm just going to wait for them to be farmable, or on the big, big account, they're already at 7 stars. But the gold promotion credits, I'm avoiding those, don't need those. But the dark promotion credits, the dark diamond credits, and the gear tier 18, loading up on those as much as possible, because those are huge power vectors for our endgame characters for War and Crucible and Arena.
Yeah, I think because of the availability of the character shards, I think for, you know, later accounts, I think you can kind of wait on these characters. Whereas before the introduction of diamonds, I think it would be the best to go after these character shards because you don't know when these characters are going to farmable. Now we know that at least within 4 months of their release, they should be farmable. So it's not as beneficial going for these, but these dark promos, you're always going to have value, especially with all these new characters that got added with dark diamond credits, dark promo credits. Green Goblin Classic got 6 and 7 red stars added to the elite store. And then diamonds for Dormammu, Iron Man Zombie, and Big Time Spider-Man. Which of these characters is the most appealing to you? I think Dormammu has still a very high cost for dark diamond credits. These characters as well. I think Zombie, Iron Man, and Big Time Spider-Man have some high dark diamond costs as well. And then Green Goblin Classic, very, very good in Cosmic Crucible. So which character would you upgrade out of these, or none of them, and just save everything for a potential Skrull or other upgrades coming?
Yeah, see, that's the problem. We have three amazing characters coming for the dark promotion credits. They just unlocked Green Goblin 6 and 7. Black Knight is coming, and I really have this gut feeling that Skrull is around the corner to kind of even the odds with him against Black Knight. I think that's going to happen. As far as the Dark Diamond credits go, none of these characters intrigue me whatsoever. I'll wait till Apocalypse is in there, and if he's not already. I'll wait till Green Goblin gets added there. I'll wait till Black Knight gets added there. I'll wait till Skrull gets added there. Right? Spider-Man Big Time, if you use his special or basic as his first turn in Crucible on offense, he can hit really hard, but that's such a niche use. Iron Man Zombie, like his attack is kind of okay, but it's all about his passive. And Dormammu, I face three Diamond Dormammus all the time. There is nothing you can do to Dormammu in Crucible that's going to stop my new warriors from killing him by accident with splash damage. Same with Masters of Evil. Same with the Superiors. Like, he just dies on accident. So he's not that guy either. So as far as Dark Diamonds go, unless you're going hard on Rogue or Red Hulk for future war use, I think you hold on to those for a better character.
Okay, so I don't think Apocalypse has his. I know Red Goblin, no Super Skrull doesn't have his diamond set. Which one's going to go first, and who do you buy first when you see those? Assuming, I know you got some pretty big accounts, assuming you don't have diamonds on either of those characters.
Yeah, so I think I have one diamond on Apocalypse. I gotta imagine I would be getting him to 3 rather quickly, because I do think his use in Arena is going to be pivotal in the new Black Knight meta. Because his rebalance goes through the heal block. Diamonds give him more health. I think that's going to be very, very important when he opens up with his special. So I think that's probably the move. If Apocalypse and Skrull hit at the same time, I would have a big problem. I would have a big conflict in my brain. I don't know what I would do, because Skrull is so important for Crucible. You can only have one Black Knight, so Skrull can just go somewhere else and do something interesting elsewhere, right?
You know, Dorky, that is a big problem. That's not a problem that your credit card can't solve.
That's true. Very true.
All right, let's talk about this other new character, Red Goblin. Now, if you don't have Super Skrull, this character is needed for your hive mind to do well in the incursion rates. If you do have Super Skrull, you can still manage with the 4-piece hive mind. What difference has Red Goblin made for you on your big accounts, and do you have him unlocked on your little account?
I do not have him unlocked on the little accounts. On the big account, he's crazy strong. Just his passive alone makes him an auto place with the hive mind team in raids. 60% damage. You don't even need the T4 to get the 60% damage. He's crazy. So, like, on the playtest, I was using him, like, gear tier 15, 3 red, 3 yellow, like you have right now. Yeah. And it was like I could auto-sim the nodes with a 5-star Void Knight, 5-star Gwenom, then 7 stars on Carnage and Venom as soon as Red Goblin entered the fray. So he is an amazing character. And I will say, he scales crazy. Just a couple minutes ago, I did a 3.3 million extreme team in Crucible on stage 1. And Red Goblin at, I believe he's 5 red. When he ulted, he wiped the map.
Wow.
There was a Dormammu, so they all came back, but then Carnage passed, blah, 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 blah. His damage is crazy once he's big.
Gotcha. Now I'm taking him out of my hive mind team for Crucible because he's the smallest on the team.
Yeah.
Once they're leveled up, who is the person that you take out of hive mind and put in maybe Super Skrull or another character or Crucible?
Sadly, it's Venom.
Venom, okay.
Yeah, because Gwen gives offense up, Carnage is the speed bar, Void Knight is the guy that sets the stage, and Red Goblin is the guy that kills everybody.
So the character that they gave diamonds out on the first season of the raids forever. So everybody got diamonds. That's the character you're removing. Okay, gotcha. Now, does he have value outside of this team, outside of Crucible, outside of the raids? No,
just too slow.
Either on this team or in the raids. That's it.
Yeah, developer was telling us that he's kind of on par with Void Knight as far as plug and play goes, and that can't be farther from the truth. Sure, he'll spawn with defense up and deflex, but at 107 speed, without Carnage giving him speed bar or Gwenom protecting him with dodges when he drops low, like, he just gets immediately wrecked. He's too slow to be plug and play.
All right, and how are these guys doing for you in Cosmic Crucible right now? These guys help me on offense a lot. Mm-hmm. They're beaten pretty easily on defense from what I've seen in my first matchup. So, offense team using them with Super Scroll, countering Secret Defenders. Are you using these guys in war?
Currently, yes. We were using them. I forget what on. It wasn't very interesting, and it was something that a bunch of other war teams could do. So in Crucible, they're amazing. They got that Superior 6 thing going for them, which is great. They work alone too, because stage 4, they get the energy. They're the only kind of team that can open up with their ultimates there, right? So there's a lot going for them in Crucible. I think they're probably a top, I think they're probably better than Masters of Evil. They're definitely better than New Warriors against the current counters we have to face, especially when you throw in Vulture there. They can take out an extreme team. Like I just said, like I took out an extreme Dorn, 3.3 million with Vulture and 4 Hive Minds. I didn't have Apocalypse. I didn't have sus there. That's how good they are in Crucible. In war, though, when you have teams like P4s, Gamma, Superior 6, soon the Out of Time team, when you have those sort of options on offense or defense, the Hive Mind team doesn't cut it.
Okay. So they got a lot of value in Crucible right now. What about next season when they lose all those symbiote bonuses attached to the Superior 6? Do you think they still have that value? Are they strong enough on their own without those bonuses?
No, but Void Knight is. Void Knight is on the same level as Nightcrawler as far as solo plug and play. He's amazing.
Gotcha. We talked about this new season of Cosmic Crucible. I am enjoying it. How are you enjoying this season?
I'm loving it. The variety.
I know you went 9-0, so that factors in a little. Even if without that, though, how are you enjoying the rules and all that stuff?
I think it's great. Stage 4, so we're not having ultimates, but if you get kills and you get ult faster, I think that's really cool. Stage 3 extending buffs is nutty. There's so much experimentation going on between Extreme in stages 1, 3, and 5, and Superior 6 in 3 and 5, and Secret Defenders are the kings of 4 right now, but you could also throw Superior 6 and 4, and that's interesting because not a lot of teams can kind of match them. There seems to be just this rotation of the top 3 or 4 defense teams into different stages, which just gives it a different look. And it doesn't seem like anything is truly unbeatable. And then you have things like Apocalypse and Sus getting plugged in here, plugged in there, making it a lot more interesting. And the fact that the season is going to be shorter means that if you have an original idea and someone like me doesn't grab it and share it with the whole world immediately, then that original idea can really carry you in this shorter season leading into season 8, I guess, or season 7.
Now, what do you think about this non-drop between season 6 and 7? Before we had these ranking rewards with diamonds in it, I was like, oh, I don't want to drop. I just want to get the weekly rewards. Now that we have some good things in these season rewards, it makes it easier to climb with the drop. What do you think of having no drop between season 6 and 7 now? Because when I first saw this, I was like, oh no, I mean, oh, that's awesome. Now I see the rewards. I'm like, oh yeah, I want to drop down as low as possible.
No, I think it's good. Cause like you said, the weekly rewards, you're still going to get better. So in the first week of season 7, if you've climbed up, the weekly rewards will still be better for you. And there's lots of training materials in the weekly rewards. I love that the season is shorter. So we're going to get those dark diamonds faster. So we don't have to wait like 4 months for them. So I think the shorter season is great. I'm scared about what the rules are going to be for next season already. and not dropping down, I think it's just, it makes more sense in the grand scheme of things. I understand they want to keep Grandmasters exclusive. I think it's going to take a while for people to climb up there anyway.
I mean, it's better for the season rewards to drop down. It's worse for your weekly rewards to drop down. So it's what you value more, I guess. But and I'm wanting these dark diamond credits, but your ranking rewards, your leagues, got a little better, not just diamonds in the diamond category, but platinum got more diamond dawn orbs, actually. So extended that. When are they going to send us a gold? And should they extend the diamonds for all ranks?
Yeah, why wouldn't you, right? Like, my level 60 account, if you gave me diamonds and all of a sudden I had 3 diamonds on Kang, which I did pull on that account, all of a sudden I'm looking at Kang offers and I'm like, hey, maybe I should like buy Kang up. And then I could have a super powered character to carry me through a bunch of stuff. I don't know why they would want to keep it as exclusive as they do, even if it's like a quarter of an orb every week or something like that. Like, why? I don't understand why.
I mean, you're looking at platinum. You're getting 2 orbs per week. Why don't you give like 1 orb per week in gold? I mean, yeah, you could do that. And like you said, you could make more money, Scopely. I mean, yeah. Dorky got a 3 diamond Kang, more likely to buy Kang offer to get red stars for Kang. All that stuff, you could be making more money if you extend this and making players happier. So I think it's a double win for you guys. Now, as far as this new season of Cosmic Crucible, are there any problem defenses that you ran across, or pretty much everything is one shot at this point because nobody's really figured out a crazy defense yet?
Well, Extreme in 1 is super scary because of all the health triggers they have. They drop, all of a sudden they're in stealth. Gambit's ulting you because he's getting speed bar. Nightcrow's ulting you because he got speed bar. His ult is available turn 2. The Rogue with the taunting is crazy. Secret Defenders with Sus in 4. Secret Defenders are so good a team. And when you throw Sus in there, sure, Hivemind can counter straight Secret Defenders. But when Sus is in there, it definitely adds another element to it. And Superior 6 in 3 was holding really good, but then the crew got on it and everyone started finding these counters that involved Apocalypse Doom trying to get Doom pushed but not killed, or Sus Doom, same thing. So there seems to be solutions. It taxes you on the other end of things, but it's leading to clever decision making by people on the defensive and on the offensive side.
Yeah, I find myself not using a lot of my great offensive teams. Like, and like a couple of battles, like when I'm done, like, oh, I didn't even need to use Apocalypse, or Sus didn't make that much of a difference, or I didn't use Eternals at all this day. So I'm liking it. I like it. But Dorky, I want to talk about the new player experience. As we mentioned, you got 3 accounts, 2 big accounts, 1 new account. What kind of pitfalls are you running into right now with your newer account?
Well, and I know a lot of people are going to push back on this, but as you're leveling, you're unlocking war, you're unlocking crew, and then you're facing nothing but shield minions and hand minions, and it's not really fun. And when you're starting to try and keep up with the raid teams to get ready for Doom Raid, all of a sudden you're running into the weirdest bottleneck ever. So let me give you a for instance here. I have 0 blue gear, 0 blue bio gear. I have literally 2,000+ of all orange bio gear, of all purple bio gear, and even about the triple digits for the teal bio gear, but no blue bio gear. Now, I can't even use the orange because my account is level 62. I could use the purple, but I need to get through the... It's such a stupid bottleneck. And as you're moving through the raids, like you have here, as soon as you're doing, I believe it's Ultimus 6, you're no longer getting the blue ability material. Yeah, as soon as you're doing Ultimate 6, you're no longer getting the blue ability material. It's absolutely ridiculous. Or sorry, Ultimate 7.
Got it.
Yeah, which you get to very quickly, because Ultimate 7 you can do with 100,000 powered Sinister 6 team, which is one of the starting teams right now. So it's very, very feels bad, and I just don't get it. Here would be my suggestion on how to fix it. They need to reduce the gold cost and training material cost to bring characters from level 1 to 65. They need to eradicate the blue bottleneck both on gear and ability materials. And so that when a player reaches level 60 and they can open up Cosmic Crucible, they can actually load in a bunch of level 60 blue geared teams instead of everyone facing hand. It would increase the experience by so much. People would be able to build up their favorite characters at least to that beginning marker where you can see what characters do. Same with war. Like, it's really dumb when, as a new player, the meta for Crucible is to go in and see how quickly you can beat the same 5 hand minions over and over and over again, and that's who decides who wins.
That's what Crucible is right now.
That's what it is, and I've heard it's like that for like the first two or three months. It's like that. It's like
of Crucible, not of your game, of Crucible.
Of Crucible, yeah. So it takes a month to get to level 60 unless you have this weird level bug, which I don't know if I'll get into. And same with war. If you don't join a war alliance right away, it takes at least a month to get in there, and then you're going to be facing shield minions for the next 2 months or hand minions. It's a very, very bad opening experience. They need to get on it if they want the game to grow. I know you and I, we want the game to grow.
I think all of us. I mean, as content creators, as players, we want this game to grow, and so shoring that up. Now, the good thing is they are aware that the new player experience sucks. They've made some improvements to it since our Envoy Summit in the summer, but that was like their number one priority. And they said they're not investing a lot of marketing dollars right now because when they draw people in, the new player's experience is not that great. So the good thing is they're aware of it, and hopefully they take some of your solutions and all the info that you've gathered as, you know, creating this new account and seeing how bad it is with the blue gear and everything. So it's good. Hopefully this leads to some bigger and better things for the game as we move on to the new war season. Not only did we get a new Cosmic Crucible season, Cosmic Crucible rewards, new war season, new war rewards as well. Victory rewards got significantly increased. So I think they made it like that winning and losing was very similar because of the shell alliances. I haven't heard about those, you know, for a while. So now it's a little more incentive to win. What does this do for the players in general? Does this help a lot? They increase the gold?
Yeah, so I think it's a great change. And they even made we saw it diamonds on Titania under the old war reward structure for leaderboards, but then they upped it. So it's like the 1,000 players are at least going to get one diamond on Titania, top 10 get 3 diamonds. And it wasn't like that before. So they did that change. We got the gold change in the victory rewards, which I think is nice. And yeah, so winning and losing matters a lot more, which used to cause shell issues. But the way it scales, I don't think shelling is going to be as big a problem, if at all. Like, you'd have to be super lazy to want to shell at this point. Because if you go all the way down to diamonds, this was the problem. It was diamond level alliances that were shelling. But if you go up to the diamonds, which is all the way at the bottom, you'll see the win rewards is 20,000 tickets. The lose reward is 10,000 tickets. It was diamond alliances that were ruining the experience for the players. And if you go up to like gold or silver where they were shelling, like, it's not even close. You still get way more for losing. So basically what I see this as is it's just a huge injection of war credits into the economy. And I think that's great.
Yeah, that was one of my biggest bottlenecks. You know, they're putting a lot of characters to farm there. Mm-hmm. That's where a lot of uniques are. And it was a choice. Do you get these uniques that you need for your characters, or do you get these character shards to build them up? This increase in the victory awards is very, very good. I wish they would have done this back in the past, you know, instead of making winning and losing just very, very not too much of a difference in terms of rewards for winning or losing. They should have just made the rewards so much for these high levels and so little for the lower levels that, you know what, as I'm saying that would be never mind.
There's a balancing act there.
There's a balancing act. Sure. As I was saying that through my head, I was like, maybe that's not a good idea. This right now is fine. I like the way they're doing this. And hopefully more alliances can climb up there, get these rewards, and get some of these bigger stuff. What do you think of these new rules, though, for a war? The new wall is new warriors instead of the rebirth. Do witches, are they still tough to beat? I heard that teams like Deathseed can still beat them.
Yeah, so they're interesting because do I give away all the secrets?
Give away what you're willing to, you're comfortable to reveal without pissing off your alliance.
So they're getting 10% speed bar per new warrior ally. They're getting 50% speed bar. That's a lot. They have offensive on spawn, they have safeguard, they got some interesting stuff, but they don't have immunity. So they are vulnerable to a team like Deathseed. But there's characters that, like, they hard counter blinds, right? So if you throw a certain character in there that hard counters blinds, guess what? Your Deathseed, they're about to go bye-bye. So there's ways to still make new warriors interesting. You just can't blindly go cookie cutter. But yes, gotcha. As a cookie cutter, they can still be beat by Deathseed. They can still be beat by Infinity Watch. Use your brains.
I like that. You didn't give away all the secrets, but you gave people enough that you could go get it on their own. Any of these room changes make a difference? I think most of the rules of the rooms are pretty much the same, right? The big thing is the new warriors.
Well, the other big thing is the cosmic hero allies. This is actually playing a big impact on things. We're seeing Hero as Guardian allies not getting just immediately crapped on by the Eternals. We're seeing teams like Nowhere that were traditionally offensive juggernaut teams getting put on defense because they become these insane walls that you have to get through. So it's the cosmic hero part has kind of played a bigger role than the New Warriors. But yeah, the New Warriors, okay. there's still a factor there.
What was it before, the mutants that had the bonus, or was that two wars ago?
I think it was like Secret Defenders that got it or something like that. Defenders. It was much less meaningful than Rebirth.
Okay. And last but not least, we got some new data mines. This is related to Black Knight, Red Letter Day. And if we go back to this shot here, we see that Red Letter Day is the release event for Black Knight based on this screenshot. Should be starting on February 26th. But what the data mines say, you're going to go to a 7-day event, earn cold-blooded ore fragments from Sword Satellite rewards. Sword Satellite, at least according to data mines, is coming back. Did you like this better, the 5-person tower or the Tower of Kiln with the 3-person tower?
The 5-person tower, I think, is more interesting, especially because did we have tag restrictions on Sword Satellite? I don't think we did.
No, I don't remember. I mean, that was the one with the introduction of diamonds. So we were trying to get out as much diamonds as possible. I think that had the Cyclops diamonds.
Yes, I think you're right. Yeah, so I definitely like the non-tag stuff better. With the Killing Tower, I call it
the Cyclops. Sorry. Killing Tower had the Cyclops diamonds. That was just diamond orbs that we got for the tower, the Sword Satellite when this first came back. I'm confusing the two. Right, this is the 5-person one. I know
this that. This is for the fact. 5-person one. Yeah.
This is a 5-person one.
So I think the Kyle Tower had better rewards because the 3-diamond gambit.
Yeah.
But the Sword Satellite was more fun because it didn't have restrictions on it. Like the Kyle Tower was very prescriptive, right? It was like, hey, yeah. X-Men, by the way, use Nightcrawler here. Villain Bio, by the way, use Super Skrull here. So at least the Sword Satellite, you have more creativity involved. I like that we're going to be getting some orb fragments from it. I'm definitely worried that this means my baby account will not even unlock Black Knight because I won't be able to climb the tower at all, right? I'm also worried that this means they're going to be burying the lion's share of shards in a leaderboard, which I think is really unhealthy for a character like Black Knight. But if it's just in the milestones, then somebody like me and somebody like you, we can give some great guides to help people climb all the way up, get all the milestones to get some good stars for him. Hopefully that's the case. But I do see this as a way of them making us fight for these shards.
Yeah, obviously they want. You know, they've given up a lot of money by giving us these character shards early within 4 months. And I think they're doing a lot of stuff to try to make that money back in other areas. This Black Knight type of release is one of those areas. Now, just going back to the Killing Tower, what did like about that one better, they did have some restrictions, but you could do that over and over and over. You didn't have that cooldown for 24 hours. So with this one, you do have to manage and plan out a little better. But also you're going to get a jam sandwich milestone, which you're going to need to spend some incursion energy for that. Also winning blitz battles, and hopefully you could win enough blitz battles on your baby account to really make a difference in this. Free claims as well. Black Knight is going to be the rewards for that. And that seems to be about it for this week. A lot of stuff went on. Seems like we covered everything though. What is your favorite part of this week?
Crucible season 6 has been super fun.
I think I would agree with you on that one. I think Crucible is good. Let me know what your favorite part of this week is. A lot of different changes, a lot of things went into effect this week. And let me know your thoughts on Black Knight. And hopefully the devs do respond one more time to the events that's going on with the candy store right now. Hopefully you enjoyed this video. If it did, leave it a like. It is free for you and it helps out the channel. Check out all of Dorky's videos. The links are going to be down below to his channel and everything else. And that's about it. And if you want to check out one of the best characters to farm right now, check out the video up there. I'll see you guys next time. Are you ready for a fist bump, brother Dorky?
Been waiting. Let's do this.
Let's do it. All right. Hulk fist bump. Dorky dad, Valley flying out. Have a great rest of your day, guys.